Hunter and the jolly boat are just beneath the stern port, and we need to load it and load it fast, with as much as we can carry, allowing for the lot of us being on board as well. Now we'll need powder, muskets, biscuits, pork.
And Jim?
What?
Jim Hawkins. Did you see him on the island?
Jim? No, I didn't see him anywhere.
I had drawn near to the foot of the little hill with the two peaks, amid larger oaks and pines near 70 feet high. From the steep and stony side of the hill, a spout of gravel was dislodged and fell rattling through the trees. My eyes turned, and I saw a figure leap behind the trunk of a pine. What it was, bear, man, or monkey, I could in no wise tell. It seemed dark and shaggy. More I knew not. But the terror of this new apparition had brought me to a stand. I was now cut off upon both sides. Behind me the murderers, before me this lurking nondescript. And immediately I began to prefer the dangers that I knew to those I knew not. I turned on my heel, and looking sharply behind me over my shoulder, began to retrace my steps in the direction of the boats.
No, please don't.
The figure reappeared, and making a wide circuit, began to head me off. From trunk to trunk, the creature flitted like a deer, running manlike on two legs, but unlike any man that I had ever seen, stooping almost double as it ran. Yet a man it was. I could no longer be in any doubt about that.
No, don't.
I began to recall what I had heard of cannibals.
Who? No. Who? Come for me. Who? No, don't.
I've got a pistol. A pistol, do you hear? Do you?
No, don't. No, not poor old Ben Gunn. Don't know, please. Please don't.
Who are you?
Don't shoot me with the gun. That's it.
What?
A gun. Ben Gunn. That's me. Yes. I'm poor old... Who? Yes. I'm poor old Ben Gunn. Poor old Ben Gunn, yes, and I haven't spoke with a Christian, not these three years gone.
His skin, wherever it was exposed, was burnt by the sun. Even his lips were black, and his fair eyes looked startling in so dark a face. Of all the beggar men that I had seen or fancied, he was the chief for raggedness. Clothed with tatters of old ship's canvas and sea cloth. And this patchwork was all held together by a system of the most various and incongruous fastenings. Brass buttons, bits of stick, and loops of tarry gaskin. About his waist he wore an old brass buckled leather belt, which was the one thing solid in his whole accoutrement.
Gone, yes. These 3 years, three long years, gone.
Were you shipwrecked?
Wrecked? No, not wrecked. Marooned, young fella, marooned. Put ashore and abandoned. Abandoned. And lived on goats since then. Goats and berries and oysters. Wherever a man is, says I, a man can do for himself. But, mate, my heart is sore for Christian diet. You mightn't have a piece of cheese about you now. No? Well, many's a long night I've dreamt of cheese. Toasted mostly, cheese, and woke up again, and here I were, island dirt in my mouth. You not got no cheese in there, these jacket pockets of yours, have you? Have you? Let me feel.
No, I...
Are you sure? Not a crumb or two? Not here in the lining?
No, I tell you, no.
Oh, sorry, young sir, sorry. I was just... Such a thing, you see. Such a thing, yes, a thing to see. To see a fellow creature.
Listen to me, listen.
If I can ever get aboard again, you shall have cheese by the stone. I shall see to it.
If ever you get aboard again, says you? Why, who's to hinder you?
Not you, I know.
And right you was, yes, right. Now, what does you call yourself, mate?
Jim.
Jim? Jim. Well, now, Jim, I've lived that rough, as you'd be ashamed to hear of. Now, for instance, you wouldn't think I had a pious mother, would you? Would you?
Not in particular.
But I had. I had. Remarkable pious. And I was a civil, pious boy, and could rattle off my catechism that fast as you couldn't tell one word from another. And here's what it come to, Jim, and it begun with Chuck Farthen on the gravestones. But it were Providence put me here. I thought it all out in this here lonely island, and I'm back on piety. You don't catch me tasting rum so much, a thimbleful for luck, perhaps, the first chance I have. And Jim, listen. Come closer. Listen. I'm rich.
You're rich?
Rich, believe me. And I'll tell you what, I'll make a man of you, Jim. Ah, Jim, you'll bless your stars, you will. You being the first that found me. But tell me, listen closer, and tell me true. That ain't Captain Flint's ship moored out there.
It's not Flint's ship, and Flint is dead. But I'll tell you true. There are some of Flint's hands aboard. Worse luck for the rest of us.
Not a man with one leg.
You mean Silver?
Silver, yes, Silver. That were his name.
He's the cook, and the ringleader too.
If you were sent by Long John, I'm as good as pork, and I know it.
We all of us fear that. All of us on the ship that aren't plotting along with him.
All of us?
The squire who commanded us here, the doctor who's accompanied him all the way, the captain who steered us, a tiny handful of others, and me as cabin boy.
You're a good lad, Jim. And you're all in a clove hitch, aren't you? Well, you just put your trust in Ben Gunn. Would you think it likely, now, that your squire would prove a liberal-minded one in case of help, him being in a clove hitch, as you remark?
The squire? Oh, he's a very liberal man, as men go, I suppose.
Aye, but what I mean is, would he be likely to come down to the tune of, say, £1,000 out of money that's as good as a man's own already?
I'm sure he would. He said all hands were to share.
And a passage home?
To be frank, I reckon we should need you to help work the vessel.
Oh, yes?
To be frank, if we don't get rid of most of the other sailors, I suspect they'll get rid of us.
Careful, Red Ruth, careful.
Careful? I'm being careful as I can, sir, given I'm hanging on a rope from the back of the bloody boat.
Well, this smaller bloody boat is overloaded already, so watch how you drop into it.
Watch, yes, I'm watching.
Help him down.
Quickly, we need to be off.
Yes, Captain, I'm doing my...
Careful, we're losing half the supplies.
I told you we're carrying too much already. It ain't such a short distance we can't sink in it. Some of these arms and powder have to go.
What? Leave them to Hans and his cronies?
No. Drop it in the water, right here. Must be 2 fathoms deep. Won't be no use to them on that sandy bottom down there. Come on.
I hope it's not the powder that might have saved our lives we're pushing overboard.
Oh, that's enough. Don't dump it all.
What's that?
Best not think of it. Better we push off now. Now, let's get rowing. That's it. Head over there, near side of that little point. Point itself will shield us from where the gig's aboard.
What's that?
Keep rowing.
Commotion on the deck.
Let's leave them to it.
What? Up there?
By God, it's Abraham Gray.
Who?
Wait, it's the little fellow who came to warn us.
Him? Well, we can't leave him behind.
Jump, man, jump! Yes, jump! Quick, throw him a line, drag him on board.
Here, my hand. Catch him.
What you don't tip the whole boat over? That Abraham Gray can't even fall off a boat in a straight line.
That's Israel Hans up there. He spotted us.
We think he wouldn't.
Okay, gotcha.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Let's get him on board.
I'm doing the best, Doctor.
Careful now. We're shipping water. Let's not get swamped.
Here, up you come. Just what we needed. More weight on board.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
My God, Gray. What'd they do to your face?
They, sir? They? It was Israel Hans. Israel Hans and the knife he uses for gutting the fish.
We'll get it all clean.
I think we ought to concentrate on reaching the island first. Feel that? The current. Ebb shifting it. It'll be all we can do to keep from making land right next to Silver's men.
I get your point. Now row.
Did you hear that?
Yes. They're going for the cannon.
Israel Hans. You see? He was old Captain Flint's gunner.
Reassuring. Keep rowing.
So here's the thing, Jim. I were in Flint's ship when he buried the treasure. He and six strong seamen along with him. They was ashore nigh on a week, and us meanwhile standing off and on in the old ship Walrus. One fine day, up went the signal, and here come Flint, rowing back all by himself. Mortal white he looked. And the six, we made out, all dead. Dead and buried. How he done it, not a man aboard could make out. It was battle, murder and sudden death. Him against six. Billy Bones was the mate, Long John, he was quartermaster. And they asked him where the treasure was. Aye, says he, you can go ashore if you like. And stay, he says. But as for the ship, she'll beat up for more by thunder. Well, I was in another ship 3 years back, and we sighted this island anew. Boys, I said, here's Flint's treasure. Let's land and find it. The captain was displeased, but my messmates were all of a mind and landed. 12 days they looked, and every day they had the worst word for me, until one fine morning all hands went aboard. As for you, Benjamin Gunn, says they, here's a musket, a spade and a pickaxe. You can stay here and find Flint's money for yourself. Well, Jim, 3 years have I been here, and not a bite of Christian diet from that day to this. Just you tell that to your squire. You tell him 3 years I were the man of this island, light and dark, fair and rain, and how sometimes I would maybe think upon a prayer, says you, and sometimes I would maybe think of my old mother. But the most part of Gunn's time, this is what you'll say, the most part of this time was took up with another matter. And then you'll give him a nip. Like this.
That's neither here nor there. What I want to know is how am I to get on board?
Ah, that's the hitch for sure.
For sure.
Well, there's my boat.
You have a boat?
That I made with my own two hands. I keep her under the White Rock. If the worst come to the worst, we might try that after dark.
Yes.
Oi, oi! What's that?
A cannon on the ship. They've begun to fight. Come on, quick, quick.
Quick? Yes, quick. Old Ben Gunn can go quick. He ain't dead yet.
No! Don't lose the oars! Keep rowing! It would help if this current were driving us broadside to that cannon.
We'll have to live with the current. We won't live long with Israel Hans taking potshots like that.
Who's our best shot?
Mr. Trelawney.
What?
No pheasant in the southwest of England is safe. That right, squire?
I suppose.
Suppose you aim your pistol and pick up one of the men around that cannon. Israel Hans, if you can.
Israel Hans would be a pleasure. Let me just...
Steady with that gun, sir. Steady with yourself. Don't swamp the boat. The rest of you, shimmer when he aims.
Sure. I see you clear, Hans.
Keep that head up one moment longer.
Oh, wait, the buggers on the shore are shooting at us all.
Steady, Squire. You have to...
Wait, wait. Yes. Got him.
Got the Romancer. That one, Hans.
Damn it. Well, hold the boat steady. I'll take another shot.
No time, look. Them on the shore are rowing out towards us. Let's get a rowing ourselves. We mustn't mind if we swamp her now. If we can't get ashore, all's up.
And Hans up there isn't wasting any time on his fallen comrade. Not when he could be readying his next shot. Look at the devil!
Calm it, Bowles! He's devil enough to enjoy it.
Wait! I have him in my sight!
Look out!
What? Hold on!
Supplies!
Left. Left, Jim. Keep your left hand under the trees. You see there? There?
What? What?
That's where I killed my first goat.
Oh. Come on.
And there, over there, look. The setemary.
The what?
The, you know, where you shoves the dead when you ain't got no open sea to shove them in.
Cemetery.
Ah, that's the word. You see the mounds? I come here and pray now and then, when I thought maybe a Sunday would be about due.
We have to... Listen, we have to... Wait. The shots, they're coming from somewhere down... It's them. They've reached the shore.
Your friends?
Yes. Running.
Running that way. They're running. I'll bet the Captain Flint's old stockade.
I have to hurry down and join them. Come along.
Oh, no.
No?
Ben Gunn, he's fly, is Ben. Rum wouldn't bring him there where you're going. Not till I see your born gentleman and gets all kinds of assurances on his word of honour. And you won't forget my words. A good man is old Ben Gunn. That's what you'll say to your squire. And then you nips him like...
Don't stop that!
And when Ben Gunn is wanted, you know where to find him, Jim. Just where you found him today. Between noon and six bells. And him that comes is to have a white thing in his hand. And he's to come alone.
And now may I go?
A good man, you'll say. Oh, and Ben has reasons of his own. Say that too. Reasons of his own. Now go.
What?
You see Silver... You wouldn't go to sell him Ben Gunn, would you?
Of course not.
Of course not. Remember, Jim, even Captain Flint was scared of Silver.
Here comes another shot! No! No!
I have to go. Ben? Ben? Where did he go? Never mind.
It's this way, through here.
Redruth, Hunter, keep your muskets on that rear flank.
Sure. Oh, yes, leave Muggins at the back, so you won't have to step over me when they shoot me dead.
Redruth!
I'm sorry, Squire, just thinking of the practical side. God, over there!
What?
They're coming at us, out of the trees. It's one of them.
Shoot him, for God's sake! No, wait, don't fire!
Doctor, Squire!
It's Jim.
Jim Hawkins?
Jim!
Get down! Down, everyone! They're getting closer every time.
I thought you were on the ship.
The ship didn't feel, to be frank, like the safest place. We opted to up sticks, find ourselves somewhere safer here on the island.
Safer, he says.
That Red Ruth.
It doesn't help. I'm wearing ourselves down with all these supplies. Yet it's only half of what we'd hope to bring. The rest is underwater. Didn't you hear the cannon fire?
I did, yes.
This Baniola had to be abandoned to Israel Hans, who's a dab hand with that 9-footer cannon. And his comrades on the island may not have cannons, but they're getting closer still. Over there, fire!
Hans sunk us, Jim, just off the shore.
Sunk us? We sunk ourselves, firing back while trying to row clear. But we're here anyway. Bryden has spit us half-drowned dogs. And the stockade's just over here.
The stockade?
You've not been the only busy boy, Jim. I found it where the map said it would be. We'll be more safe than not if we can reach its fence.
But we're not there yet.
I noticed. Heads low, gentlemen. Please, this way.
There they are, Jack.
Right, just short of the stockade.
Give me that pistol, quick. By God, it's better than bagging deer on Dartmoor.
Yes, but these deer shoot back, so let's go.
I see them, Jack. Just shot Robbo down.
We're after them, then. All of you, after them.
Yeah.
There she is. Never did four walls and a tall fence look lovelier.
That's the stockade.
Only place we might survive long enough to eat these wretched heavy provisions. Right, let's get over this paling.
Over, sir?
Fence wouldn't be much of a defense if it had a door in it. Come, all of you. I strung a couple of ropes over on my last trip. There.
Oh, climbing a rope over a 6-foot fence with buccaneers shooting at me. This is just the trip away from home I was after.
Get yourself over the wretched fence, Red Roof, and the experience, I don't doubt, will improve immeasurably.
Better yet, you, Red Roof, and the rest of you two, drop low and fire back. Why, it's a moment or two to get over this thing.
Sir? Drop low, he says. Of course I'm dropping low. I'd dig me way back to Bristol if I could.
Less talk, I suggest, and more fire.
I'm hit, Joe.
Hear that, boys? Let's hit him harder.
Pull back.
You hear that? Up we go. Over the fence, fast as we can. You first, Squire.
Yes, of course.
Less a reflection on your status than on your weight.
What?
You might need a push from below.
Oh, yes.
The rest of you, quick, fast as you can.
You go, Doctor.
It's my wretched idea to quit the boat. My own wretched hide ought to remain in the front line a while longer.
Doctor, if I'm to wind up taking a bullet or worse off Silver and his band, I'm damn sure I want a good doctor around to patch me up or to put me out of my misery.
I see your point. You too. Jim, over you go. Red Roof, help the boy.
Oh, help the boy. Oh, yes, help the boy. Boy like him and he can't climb 6 foot worth of rope on his own initiative. But that's what I'm here for. Help everyone but myself. Go on, up you go, you Hawkins.
I can climb over my... self.
Oh, nevertheless, it's part of my duties to wait on you, Master Jim. Like you was a bleeding Prince Regent. And you won't hear Tom Redruth complain about his duties. Oh, no, not me.
Quickly now. Silver's a snake. And I don't trust no snake when it goes as quiet as this. Move! You too, Redruth.
Move, I'm moving. I'd move faster still if I could find England at the end of this bloody rope.
Here, Redruth, catch my hand.
Oh, Jim, get your head down.
I'll help you over. My hand, take it.
Jim! Oh!
Redruth!
Over there! He's in that tree! Fire! Man wounded! Get him over that fence!
I've got him. Doctor, help me!
Jim! Get him over there! Help, lads, before they fire again!
He's coming over! Look up below!
I'm ready, Jim!
Over you come!
Drop low, lads, drop low. Spot him and shoot him.
Clear that table! Wounded man here.
Is that my dear old Tom Redruth?
Here! Lay him down!
Can you do anything for him, Doctor?
Just wait a moment. Let me get a look at him. Hit several times.
I'm going, I think, Doctor.
Let me be the judge of that. And let's cut these clothes off of him.
I ain't been a judge of much in my life, Doctor, but I tell you I'm a judge of this. Old Tom Redruth's going home.
Tom, say you forgive me, won't you?
Forgive you, Squire?
For bringing you here.
But, Squire, I'm not here anymore. Find yourself another servant.
Redruth, no.
Tom.
My God. Them pirates may not be able to shoot straight, but they make up for it in sheer bloody effort. How's Redruth?
He's dead.
Oh.
Tom.
Don't take on, Squire. Man dies defending his own. Well, all's well with him. It mightn't be good divinity, but it's how a captain sees it.
You'll hit yourself.
This? Oh, it's just a touch. Won't see me off today. Not this little bit of bleeding. I'd appreciate you patching it up, mind.
Here, let me.
The rest of you, cover that man up. I dragged a Union Jack with me.
And fill the pockets of this jacket here with... what?
All I could shove in them. Bible, a coil of rope, pen, ink, logbook.
And all the tobacco you could stuff in there. Looks of things.
I likes my tobacco.
No wonder so many of the bullets were bouncing off of you.
One thing, sir. Discreetly.
Yes?
You left instructions, I understand. And that fella, Blandy, back in Bristol, to send for us if we didn't return.
Yes.
And how long was he to wait before sending that second ship? Doctor.
Till August.
August.
I'm afraid so.
Making a large allowance, sir, for all the gifts of Providence. I should say we're pretty close-hauled.
Indeed.
Shame we lost them other supplies to the sandy bottom.
How much of a shame, you're better able to judge than me.
A powder and shot we may do. And the rations are short. Very short. So short, Dr. Livesey, that we're perhaps as well with one mouth less. Ah-ha! Blaze away! You've lit enough powder already, my lads.
That's coming awfully close.
Inside the stockade. But they haven't found us yet.
They have all night.
All through the evening they kept thundering away. But they had to fire so high that ball after ball fell dead and buried itself in the soft sand of the enclosure. The cold evening breeze whistled through every chink of the rude building and sprinkled the floor with a continual rain of fine sand. There was sand in our eyes, sand in our teeth, sand in our suppers. Add to this that Grey, the new man, had his face tied up in a bandage for a cut he had got in breaking away from the mutineers. And that poor old Tom Redruth, still unburied, lay along the wall, stiff and stark, under the Union Jack.
Now then, let's not hunch around feeling sorry for ourselves. Let's split into watches. Doctor, Grey, Jim, your first watch.
Sir.
Squire, Hunter, Joyce, you're the next.
Yes.
You're a sound man, Captain.
You haven't heard of your first duty.
Which is?
Jim, stand sentry. While the Doctor and Mr. Grey here get poor old Redruth buried out there.
Of course. Grey, let's each get an end of the fellow.
Aye, aye, sir.
Jim, get ready to open the door.
Sir.
That's enough, Grey.
Sure.
There you go, old fellow. It's not the home we dragged you from, but it'll have to do. All right, Jim.
All right. Yes, I suppose.
And for a lad, you've lately seen altogether too much of death, I don't doubt.
Too much to be much of a lad anymore, sir.
I'm sure. How's it sounding out there?
Quiet.
Of course. Their stock of ammunition's as limited as ours. They won't waste it firing in the dark. Not unless they can get closer. Tell me, Jim. This Ben Gunn you talked of. Is he a man?
I don't know, sir. Nor am I very sure he's sane.
A man who has been 3 years biting his nails on a desert island. Jim can't expect to appear as sane as you or me. Was it cheese you said he had a fancy for?
Yes, sir.
You've seen my snuff box, haven't you?
Yes.
You ever see me take snuff?
Not that I recall,
no,
sir.
No, of course not. The reason being that in my snuff box I carry a piece of Parmesan cheese from Italy. It's very nutritious. Well, let's just save that for Ben Gunn.
Kind of you, sir.
Nice to think we might have one friend on the island. Let's get inside and discuss our prospects, if we have any. Move, Jim. Move.
Supplies, Doctor. Not enough. What we've fished out of that water won't last long.
Well, starve us, sir. Starve us into surrender.
What options do we have other than simply accepting that?
We could do our best to kill them buccaneers before they kill us.
Kill them? They have us outnumbered by some margin.
We didn't kill them all. Just kill enough of them for them to decide this treasure hunt isn't worth the effort. Even if that means them sailing off with the Hispaniola.
And where does that leave us?
Stranded perhaps, but still alive. My reckoning is they're down to 15 men at most. And we have 2 able allies.
Oh, yes?
Oh, yes, indeed. Rahm and the Climat. I could hear them earlier, though they're half a mile away, roaring in the night with drink. And they're camped, it seems, right next to the marsh. Why, this doctor will stake his wig that within a week, half of them will be on their backs with fever. If we're not all shot down first, we'll live to see them go packing in the schooner, buccaneering once more.
First ship I ever lost.
We've lost more than a ship, and saved more too, so far at least. Let's all get some sleep.
Sorry, I was having a nightmare.
What time is it?
Light there through the cracks in the walls.
Flag of proof! You hear me in there? Flag of proof!
What the devil?
What? No, quiet. Listen. Outside.
Flag of proof! It's John Silver!
Silver?
The devil indeed. Arm yourselves. And let's get out of that fence.
I can't.
All right.
Okay.
Mount then, ladders, gentlemen. Take your lookout posts. And have their muskets ready.
I ran to a loophole in the fence. Sure enough, there were two men just outside the stockade, one of them waving a white cloth, the other no less a person than Silver himself, standing placidly by. It was the coldest morning I ever was abroad in. Silver and his lieutenant, knee-deep in a low white vapour that had crawled out of the morass. The chill and the vapour told a poor tale of the island.
Who goes below? Stand or we fire.
Flag of truce, says I.
And what seek you with your flag of truce?
Why, captain to captain. To come aboard and make terms.
Captain to... What? Captain Silver, is it now? Ha! My heart! And here's promotion.
What were my poor lads to do after your desertion but declare me their captain?
Desertion?
All I ask is your word, Captain Smollett, that I might come and talk terms with you, and then walk safe and sound back out of this here stockade with 1 minute to get out of shot before a gun is fired. What do you say, Captain? Captain,
if there's to be treachery here, it'll be on your side. And Lord help you.
A word from you's enough, Captain. I know a gentleman, and you may lay to that.
We could see the man who carried the flag of truce attempting to hold Silver back. But Silver laughed and slapped him on the back, then advanced to the stockade, threw over his crutch, got a leg up, and with great vigour and skill succeeded in surmounting the fence. His immense blue coat, thick with brass buttons, and the laced hat set on the back of his head, making him look, momentarily, like some great exotic bird or ape, sprung, savage and wondrous from the mist. He dropped with rough elegance on our side.
My, but don't you have a sweet, pretty place here?
It's seen us through the night. And a night or two to come, if necessary.
You ain't a-gonna let me in the hut, Captain. It's a main cold morning.
Why, Silver, had you been pleased to remain an honest man, you might have been warm in your galley this very moment, and us through the wall feasting on the breakfast we thank you for. If we're all of us, here and now, out in the cold, bellies grumbling, it's down to you. You're either my ship's cook, or the so-called Captain Silver is in a common mutineer and pirate. If the latter, then go hang.
Hang, Captain. That's less hospitable than I might have hoped. Gentleman to gentleman.
Gentleman?
You're no gentleman.
Ah, there's the doctor. Good morning to you, Squire. And if it isn't my young friend Jim. How are you, Jim? Your old pal was concerned for you. Disappearing like that, where did you go? What happened? What did you see?
You don't need to tell him anything, Jim.
Of course not. Not unless he wants to share a confidence with his old friend from the voyage over.
Your business, Silver. What is it?
Well, here it is. We want that treasure and aim to have it.
Do you now?
And you gentlemen might appreciate hanging on to your lives. Well, let's see what we can do. You have a chart, have you not?
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Don't you be husky with me. I know you do. And I want it, and I will have it.
Oh, yes.
And Jim, you must help me persuade them. I never meant no harm to none of you myself.
We know exactly what you meant for us.
That gutless, sniveling, slobbering mouth, Abraham Gray, what has he told you? Where is he? Gray!
Avast there! Gray's a finer man than you. I didn't need no word from him to let me know what you were threatening.
I threaten them that spies on me and mine and then speaks to others. I threaten them that stands between me and what I've got a claim on.
A claim, Silver? It was my map and my charter.
Your map, Squire? I'd rather think it belonged to my old Captain Flint and came to you by way of my comrade in arms, Billy Bones, stolen from us so prematurely.
Prematurely? We can all surmise who engineered that fellow's fate.
I wasn't there. I wouldn't be so presumptuous.
A rogue as subtle as you, Silver, hardly needed to be there.
A rogue, Squire? Why, I'm but a poor man seeking to be a little less poor. While with respect, sir, what's a squire but a kind of pirate on the land? His wide estates for a green sea, and all lesser beings who stray thereabouts fit for seizing, and the shaking empty of their pockets in rents or fines?
My Silver... You are an affront to the settled order of England.
If we were anywhere near England, Squire, you could do something about it, but we're not. So here it is. You give us the chart, and drop shooting poor seamen and stoving their heads in while they were sleeping off the rum.
What?
You know fine well what, you fine gentlemen. Last night, some of you's pretty handy with a handspike end. Some of my people were shook. Maybe all were shook. Maybe I was shook myself. Maybe that's why I'm here for terms. But it won't happen twice by thunder.
Silver, I have no conception what you're talking about. Nor has any of us.
Oh, no. Maybe you think we were all a sheet in the wind's eye, but I'll tell you I was sober. Only dog-tired, and if I'd have woke a second sooner, I'd have caught you in the act. I would. That's a good man you killed last night.
We killed no one.
Then who? Who else is on this island but us?
Ben Gunn.
What? What's that, lad?
Nothing, nothing.
Whatever you might have to fear from us, Silver, it won't be murder in the dark. We're not pirates, none of us, in spite of all you say.
In spite of all I might suspect? Who am I to call you liars? Or worse, why you might even be the pillars of rectitude you claims to be, never having had the tough choice of being anything else. With that in mind, in return for your giving me the map, I offer you a choice. Either come aboard along of us once the treasure's ours, and then I'll clap you somewhere safe ashore. Or if that ain't your fancy, some of my hands being rough and having old scores on account of hazing, then you can stay here. We'll divide stores with you, and I'll give you my affidavit to speak to the first ship I sight, and send him here to pick you up. Now, you alone, that's talking. Handsomer you couldn't look to get.
Is that all?
Refuse that, Captain. And you've seen the last of me but musket balls.
Very good. Now you'll hear me. If you'll come up, one by one, unarmed, I'll engage to clap you all in irons and take you home to a fair trial in England. If you won't, then I'll see you all to Davy Jones. You can't find the treasure, and there's not a man among you fit to sail the ship. When next I meet you, I'll put a bullet in your back.
Harsh words.
And heartfelt.
This your spring.
What?
Yes, Silver. A great asset.
fresh, is it?
Fresher water than will come out of the swamp near you.
Might even help us outlive you all.
You won't outlive me. There, drink that for a taste of what's coming your way. Before an hour's out, I'll stove in your blockhouse here like a rum puncheon. Them that die'll be the lucky ones. Here, gentlemen, give me a hand up.
Crawl over on your own initiative, you wretched cripple.
That's unkind. Jim!
Don't help him, Jim. Jim!
Here, put your foot up.
Thank you, Jim. At least there's one man among you.
Jim!
And with a dreadful oath, he dragged himself over the paling and disappeared among the trees.
Now listen to me, Hawkins.
Never mind that. He ain't gone for long. To your positions, all of you.
Inside the house, east and west, on its two short walls, there were two loopholes for aiming a musket through. On the south side, where stood the porch of the house, another two. On the north side, five. There was a round score of muskets for the seven of us. The firewood had been built into four piles, and on each of these, ammunition and four loaded muskets were laid ready. In the middle, the cutlasses lay ranged.
My lads, I've given Silver a broadside. I've pitched it in red hot on purpose. Before the hour's out, as he said, we shall be boarded. We're outnumbered, but we fight in shelter, and I've no doubt we can drop them. Now, toss out the fire. The chill is past. We mustn't have smoke in our eyes. Had your breakfast, Hawkins?
No, Captain.
Well, help yourself and lively about it. You'll want it before we're done. Hunter, serve out a round of brandy to all hands. Doctor, you'll take the door.
Certainly.
I'll be certain of this. Keep out of their eye line and fire through the porch. Hunter, take the east side. Joyce, right. You stand by the west. Mr. Trelawney?
Captain.
Show us how good a shot you are. You and Gray take this long north side with the five loopholes. It's there the danger is.
Right.
If they can get up to it and fire in upon us through our own ports, things might begin to look, dirty.
Dirty? I'll say.
Gray! Now, Hawkins, neither you nor I are much account of the shooting. We'll stand by to load and bear a hand.
Yes, Captain.
Good lad. And now, we wait. You're likely, Jim, if you're anything like me, first time I faced this kind of thing back when I was but a cabin boy myself, to find the waiting almost the worst part. Almost.
I've faced fire already, Captain.
You have, Jim, and done well, but this will be closer, tighter, darker, nastier. By God, I wish I could get out of it.
As soon as the sun had climbed above our girdle of trees, it fell with all its force upon the clearing and drank up the vapours at a draught. An hour passed away.
On you go, lads. There are rats in a trap. Go dig them out.
Soon the sand was baking, and the resin melting in the logs of the blockhouse. Jackets and coats were flung aside, shirts thrown open at the neck and rolled up to the shoulders. And we stood there, each at his post, in a fever of heat and anxiety.
Hang 'em. This is as dull as the doldrums. Gray, whistle for a wind.
If you please, sir.
What, Hunter?
If I see anyone, I'm out of fire.
I told you so.
Thank you, sir. Just checking the etiquette.
What in the name of...
Rather think they're coming, sir. Here, east side.
No, that's not coming from the east. It's coming from over here, south. Three of them at least.
More of them here, to the north. Fire, Gray, fire!
Sir,
sir! Hold your positions! Keep a clear eye! Be ready! Miss Hunter!
A moment, sir! What?
There! You hit your man, Hunter?
I believe not, sir.
Oh. All right, Hawkins. Let's help get these guns reloaded. Three on your side, Doctor.
Saw two flashes close together, another further to the west.
How many in yours, Mr. Trelawney?
Too bloody many to count.
Great!
But he's right. Seems to be quite a few of them out there.
Then the attack will come from the north. They're just playing with us on the other three sides.
Should we change our positions? Concentrate on that north side.
No, stick where you are, Doctor. Same goes for all of you. They get into the stockade, you can bet they'll come at us from all sides.
If we find any of these loopholes without one of our guns sticking out of it, well, fish in a barrel might have better odds.
I get your point.
Just keep your eye, Doctor, fixed on that.
Ow! Doctor! All right. Hit the musket, not me.
Over you go, boy! Over you go!
Here, north side. Seven of them. Climbing the fence.
Pin them down!
There! There's one down!
And there is another.
And another running for his life!
Four of them still running straight at us. Reload, Ray. Reload and shoot.
Coming too fast. Too fast.
Damn it all. They're swarming like hornets.
It's Joe Anderson, damn him. Oh, miss.
Watch them other loopholes. Watch them. Hunter?
One of them out there. He's caught the musket barrel.
Well, get it free, man. Get it free.
I'm trying. Oh.
Hunter!
Yeah! Over here. The porch.
More trying to get...
How about ya?
Jim! The cutlass, quick!
Should they hear?
Got it!
Got a cutlass of you, Doctor. I'll cut it out your hand.
You could try, Mr. Morgan, and I could try to cut you back. A doctor might just know where it'll hurt the most.
Captain, the doctor is heading outside.
So must we all. Too tight in here. Out, lads, out! Fight him in the open. Cutlasses, you too, Jim. They ain't taking prisoners.
A cutlass. Yes, yes, fight them out in the open. Yes, God!
Round the house, lads. Round the house. Round the house.
You swing a mean cutlass for a landlubber, Doctor. I've been hacking chunks out of lubbers since I was younger and prettier than that cabin boy of yours.
And by heaven, you're ugly now.
Yeah, ugly and proud of it. Some ugly things downright beautiful to earn this freak.
Well, there! You've an uglier face still to go boasting about.
Help me! Help me, someone! This doctor's a bloody madman!
The doctor hasn't finished with you yet, Morgan. There's a particular surgical technique I'd like to introduce you to.
George!
Charge, is it, cabin boy?
Job Anderson.
Charge at what? Your own comeuppance? Or cutting down, rather? Job'll cut you down. Ha! Cut you into cutlets! Ha! Slice you into salami. Ha! Massacre you for mincemeat! Or maybe just bleed you. Nice and slow and drop by drop. Keeping you pretty till I'm finished with you. What are you up for, boy? Hey? Or shall I decide?
I might beat you.
What? Slip of a lad like you, beat Job Anderson at swordplay? Show me.
I don't have to beat you with the sword. Not if I can run faster.
Watch that slope. You might trip. Second thoughts, lad. I'll finish you with one cut, for that's all the effort you're worth.
He's worth more than you, Job Anderson.
What? Who's that? Grey? Abe Grey, the gutless turncoat that my good friend Israel Hands carved his mark upon?
Oh, not so gutless, Job. Seeing as I'm standing here right in front of you, scar and all.
What? You're going to challenge me to swordplay? Like the child?
No, Job. I don't quite have the guts for that. Lie in the dirt, shipmate, and I'll dig you a grave. Up you get, Jim.
Jim, Gray, how are we?
The better for having Job Anderson dead at our feet, Doctor.
Yes. A comely sight. Reassuring as that of those we haven't killed climbing back over that fence. I think we've...
There, Doctor!
Thank you, Jim. There. The fight is over, temporarily. Back into cover. Let's take stock of where we stand. Well, they've taken their rations for today. How are we in here, Trelawney?
Hunter's in a bad way, but still alive, last time I looked.
Yes, I can hear him.
Blows to the skull and chest with the butt of his own musket. ruthless.
What else do we have a right to expect?
Joyce is dead. Shot to the head. He's over...
Yes, I see. What about you?
Oh, I'm all right. I mean, Captain here is wounded.
Two shots from Joe Anderson. If you can patch me up, I'll return the favor at first chance I get.
Missed that chance. He's dead outside.
Well, that's the kind of disappointment I can live with. Perhaps.
Don't thank me. Thank Gray here.
It was my own selfish pleasure.
Thank you anyway. And the rest of them?
Those are good run, Ran. Even five of them that'll never run again.
Five. That's better. Five against three leaves us, I reckon, four against nine now. That's better odds than we had at starting.
I prefer better odds still.
Well, have to fight for those.
Your fighting's over for today, Captain. When I take a look at the damage those two shots have done, which I'll do straight after I've done whatever I can for Hunter.
I'm not sure you can do much.
Nor am I. But however much I can do, let's get it done. Try and hold him still, Trelawney.
I am trying, but he feels all broken inside.
That's because he is broken. Little I can do here and now for that fractured skull and the chest here is crushed completely upon me. Bear with me, Hunter. Bear.
Hunter! Hunter!
He's gone. We've lost him.
Are you sure?
You don't have to be a doctor to be sure, do you?
No. Oh, a good man. Faithful to my family his whole life long. Like Joyce, like Redruth. And I as good as killed them all. Treasure, treasure. Oh, what treasure is there in this? Other than that scarlet gold of theirs spilled every which way about this floor.
We made a mutual agreement, Trelawney. I was as greedy as you for whatever might be here. I'm soiled with these men's blood as much as you are. Figuratively and literally. Gray.
Sir?
Dig me two more graves out there. I'll come and help you when I've taken a look at the captain.
Sir?
Jim, give him a hand.
Yes, Doctor.
Come on, Jim. Cheer up. Could have been our own graves we was digging.
I suppose.
There. There, that's you sewn up. Sewn up as best I can.
Will I live?
Damn right you will, Captain. Like a stubborn old barnacle.
What else is a seaman in it for the long haul to mould himself on?
Quite. At any rate, the first shot broke the shoulder blade and bruised the lung.
Yes, I feel that.
Not badly. It should only hurt when you breathe. But don't take that as a disincentive to do so.
I'll keep breathing. Don't you worry.
The second shot simply tore and displaced some muscles in your calf. You'll limp for a while like our friend Silver.
He's no friend of mine.
You'll recover. But you won't be fighting any more battles. In fact, for the next several weeks, I'd recommend you're not walking, moving the arm on this side, or even speaking.
What use am I, Captain, if I can't even speak?
Well, we'll have to adopt other strategies, won't we?
Shouldn't we say, a prayer or something?
A prayer, Jim? Such would be a fine and lovely thing, I have no doubt. But these lips and tongue of mine are altogether too parched with sand and sea salt and dried blood for me to get one out. And no seaman really believes that kind of thing anyway.
No?
Nah. When he's faced the sea and the unbroken wind, and knows how thinly he's hung above the blackest depths. The sailor knows the divinity that shapes and cradles his world. And it's no divinity you could say a prayer to. Why, one may as well spit into the gale as one sails it. But no, you say a prayer, Jem, if it makes any difference to you.
I'm not sure I should. I think this island is a kind of hell. And I'm not sure it's right to say a Christian prayer in hell.
Maybe not. But, well, like I say, I ain't theological, but what I have heard of hell, well,
It don't sound so different from some of the places greedy men have sailed me.
Just wait here, Trelawney. Look after the others. I'll be back when I'm back.
Doctor?
What? Oh, Jim, and you, Gray. How are we doing out here?
Great, Doug, sir. Dug and filled. Two more fellas clear of the worst of it.
Indeed. Well, the rest of us have many miles yet to march before...
Doctor, are you all right?
All right? Hardly. But close to it as can be hoped for at this particular moment.
You're going somewhere?
Yes, Jim, I'm going.
Going, sir? Who's going with you?
With me? Why, look. The cutlass, my pistols, this musket, and this.
The chart, sir. The map.
Indeed. Treasure Island. What fortune for us without the precious map?
I mean, sir, you ain't going on your own.
Yes, Gray, on my own.
In search of what?
In search of whatever I find. Take care of yourselves while I'm gone.
Doctor, take me with you.
By God, lad, haven't we dragged you far enough? Stay here. See to yourselves. And don't worry about me.
Doctor!
No, that's how he goes. It's them upright bossy ones that always snaps first. High strung. Like a sail roped too tight in a headwind.
Where's he going?
Oh, how should I know? At least, if he goes far enough, I might get out of digging his grave.
With that chart, and just last night he talked to me of Ben Gunn.
Who? Uh-huh.
And Parmesan cheese.
Me?
He said he had a boat, bended under a white rock.
What are you on about, lad?
I think I've got an idea where the doctor might be going. I wish I was going with him.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. This place, so hot and shut in and stinking of blood and dead men in the dirt. Anything I'd give to be clear of here.
Help me cook up the dinner and you'll have a better stench under your nose.
I've got biscuits in my pockets, a couple of pistols, a powder horn, bullets. I reckon I could last a while out there even without dinner. I'm going.
What?
What do you call it? French leave.
Jim, no! Jim! Come back! Jim!
But I was a boy, and I had made my mind up. The doctor was already lost to sight, with no clear hint of which way he might have gone. But I thought to search out the white rock under which Ben Gunn had hidden his boat. I took my way straight for the east coast of the island, and the sandy spit dividing the open sea from the Hispaniola's anchorage. After walking a distance beside the surf, I took the cover of some bushes and crept warily up to the ridge of the spit. Behind me was the sea, in front the anchorage. The sea breeze had begun drawing in great banks of fog, and the anchorage, under lee of Skeleton Island, lay still and leaden as when we first entered it. The Hispaniola in that unbroken mirror was exactly portrayed from the truck to the waterline. The Jolly Roger hanging from her peak, and one of the gigs moored alongside. All at once there began the most horrid, unearthly screaming, though I had soon remembered the voice of Captain Flint, and even thought I could make out the bird by her bright plumage as she sat perched upon her master's wrist as he stepped across the deck.
Pieces of eight, pieces of eight, five men dead, pieces of eight.
Can't you shut that bloody bird up, Silver?
Shut her up, Israel. Why, she's the one shipmate on this joint I can truly trust.
Trust has to cut both ways, Silver. Can I trust you?
Israel, mind what you say.
Quiet, you.
Yes, Ibrahim. Israel here simply wants a reassurance.
You can't call it that.
Then I give it. Of course you can trust me. I've got you this far, haven't I?
Got us where? Anchored in a swamp and not a clink of treasure.
I'll find the treasure. You find yourself a touch of patience.
And the map? The treasure map? You got your hands on that yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet? In the meantime, we got good men dead and all through fighting them, as you said, we could swat like flies.
They were smarter coves than we reckoned on, to be sure. But if we can't swat them like flies, we'll wear them down, man by man, like spearmen chasing sharks into the shallows. Ain't so many of them left now, and old Silver don't.